talk with you this morning about anointing determines ministry. I was up here praying, and just all of a sudden that phrase just dropped on the inside of me. Anointing determines ministry. In order to be effective in God's kingdom, we must do what we're ordained, what God has ordained us to do. And a lot of people get confused and try to do the things that's out of their jurisdiction, or not do anything at all. And God's called every one of us to do something. And I think people's idea of ministry is inside the building, and the majority of that is outside the building. What goes on in here is just equipping the saints to do the work of the ministry. And a lot of people just equate ministry to pulpit and this type thing, which is nothing can be farther from the truth. And I want you to understand what anointing really is. It's a word that's thrown around a lot, okay? People talk about a person really being anointed, and that was anointed service and all this type stuff. But, you know, the root word for anoint is to rub or smear. It's just as simple as that. So it's not the rubbing or the smearing. It's what's accomplished through the rubbing or the smearing. You understand? And in the Old Testament, it was oil that the prophet would pour on a king or whomever, to set them apart for a particular thing. Under the new covenant, it's the Holy Spirit that sets us apart to do a particular thing. And we're set apart through gifts and abilities. God endows us supernaturally with things. And whatever God has endowed you with, that's what God expects you to use. That's where you're to operate. That is your field of ministry, if you will. And so, anointing sets a person apart for a particular service. Ministry is service. And so, when a person has been selected by God, and all these words are interchangeable, anoint, appoint, select, choose, all these things are interchangeable, okay? And so, don't try to make some glorified word out of anoint. Okay, it's just a common word that is conveying a message, and we need to understand the message. So, what one is set apart to do determines his effectiveness in ministry. You know, you see it in secular work all the time. A person, they get hired to do a job, and they just really don't have interest in that particular thing. They don't have the skill to do that particular thing, and you get a person out of a position, and it's a disaster. An administrative person is not going to excel, let me put it this way, doing mechanical things. And a person with a mechanical aptitude probably not going to excel in administrative things, you understand? And so it's operating where you feel like it's your expertise, if I can say it that way. And I'm not talking about a prideful thing. I'm just talking about what God has set you apart to do. Now, here's another thing. Your anointing is going to determine your purpose. It's as simple as that. And people wear themselves out trying to find purpose without ever just really looking to see what God has put in them. What gifts and abilities do you have? Then use them. Quit trying to label things. We want to put a label on everything, a title on this person, a title on that person. We don't need the labels. We don't need the titles. What we do need is the service being done. And that's what God's looking for. Now, with that anointing, that selection, that choosing, whatever, comes grace to do that. You know, I've heard various people say over the years, I don't see how you do that. Well, you just have the grace to do it. And if that would wear you out, that's going to tell you you don't need to be in that position for sure. You don't need to be doing that service if it's going to frustrate you. You with me? Because I believe if you're doing what God told you to do, it's not going to frustrate you. It's not that you're not going to run into situations and problems and that type thing, but overall, it's not going to frustrate you. You enjoy what you're doing. And as long as you enjoy what you're doing, that's a pretty good indication you're doing the right thing. Okay? As long as it's not wearing you out. Ability also accompanies anointing. God is not going to set you apart to do something you don't have the ability to do. And I've seen it. I mean, one particular thing I'm thinking of right now was a person singing. They wanted to sing, but they couldn't sing. You understand? If you can't sing, God didn't call you to sing. You'd think that's common sense. But people are wanting to do what other people do. Oh, I could say, you know, I wish I could sing like that, but I got enough sense to know I can't, so I'm not going to get up there and make a fool of myself or whatever. Okay? And so what God anoints you to do, you'll have the ability to do. He equips you. He doesn't throw you to the wolves, so to speak. And He doesn't set you out there to embarrass you. You're there for a purpose. And one who is anointed, selected, chosen, appointed, ordained, whatever word you want to use, is for a particular purpose. It's not just a carte blanche thing. You know, if you're anointed, well, you can do anything. No, that's not the way it goes. And your anointing, I said, determines your purpose. For instance, let me show you something that people overlook. Abraham was anointed to start a nation through which the seed, Jesus, would come. You understand that was what he was ordained to do? So what's his anointing? What's he set apart to do? He's set apart to produce seed to ultimately become a nation. Isaac, Jacob, the same thing. You look at Jacob, then this is where the 12 tribes of Israel come. And from those 12 tribes of Israel, a nation came forth. Look at Moses. What was Moses' anointing? He's there to lead that nation out of the captivity they're in and gain their independency. So he's there to liberate Abraham's seed. That's his calling. That's his anointing. That's his purpose. Saul, the first king of Israel, was anointed to be the king of Israel. God told Samuel to anoint him. Samuel told Saul, he said, and you can find this in 1 Samuel, well, why don't I read it? 1 Samuel 9:16. And I want to show you a difference here in something. In 1 Samuel 9:16, Samuel is telling Saul, or pardon me, God is telling Samuel, tomorrow about this time I will send you a man out of the land of Benjamin, and you will anoint him to be captain over my people Israel, that he may save my people out of the hand of the Philistines, for I have looked upon my people because their cry is coming to me. And that's exactly what Saul does. Saul takes the oil and he anoints him to be captain or king over Israel. Now, he does this a couple times as far as the anointing. Then turn over to the 10th chapter of 1 Samuel. And let's look at verses 10 through 12. And Samuel, talking to Saul, he said, where do I want to start? Let me start with 9. It was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. And all those signs came to pass that day. And when they came thither to the hill, behold, a company of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he prophesied among them. Now, Samuel had told him that this was going to happen. He wasn't anointed to be a prophet. He was anointed to be a king. Now, if he would have tried to have made a career out of prophesying, he'd have fallen on his face. You see, a lot of people do that. You know, the Spirit of God may come on you at a particular time to do a particular thing, but that doesn't mean that's your purpose in life. If you're anointed to be the king, and let the prophet be the prophet. You understand? Don't try to be what you aren't. It's frustrating. When people do it, they hide behind all kinds of facades and all this type of thing. Just be comfortable in who you are. Just learn who you are and like who you are. If God called you to sweep the floor, enjoy it and sing while you do it, if you can sing. You with me? Don't think that that's menial in God's sight. If that's what God's called you to do, that's the very best position you can be in. And society tries to segregate everything, categorize everything, and make this one higher than this one, make this one better than this one, and the bottom line is God created all of us. He didn't create us to lord over one another. He created us for purpose. If we all had the same purpose, there would be a lot of stuff that wouldn't be done, which means we would have a hurting society. It takes all types of vocations to make this world go, you understand? Even in a church, it takes many different gifts to make that be successful. And God wants us to be successful for Him, for His sake, for His kingdom's sake. And so, Saul was king, not prophet, even though he prophesied. And let me say this, just because you prophesied, that doesn't make you a prophet. There's a world of difference between prophesying and operating with the gift of prophet. Okay? Now, let's go to another one. Look at Joshua. What was he set apart to do? You understand, he wasn't a preacher of righteousness like Noah. Joshua was a military man. He was set apart to lead the nation of Israel into the land that God had promised to Abraham. You studied Joshua, you studied the conquest and all that. He was a mighty warrior. And it says he didn't leave anything undone that he was told to do. He did everything. He's one of the most remarkable men in the Bible, and yet he's overlooked in so many cases, that he fully obeyed. What was his purpose? What was his anointing? Take the territory. And that's exactly what he did. You look throughout the Bible, you'll find that kings were anointed. You look, find that priests were anointed. Prophets were anointed, and you can go on. And these are selected for a particular purpose. For example, when Moses led the nation of Israel out of Egypt, and they became the nation, and God gave him the pattern for the tabernacle and the form of worship, the constitution to govern the nation. One of the things that he told him to do was to take Aaron's sons. Moses did not choose Aaron because Aaron was his brother. God chose Aaron. He said, out of that family of the Kohathites, you choose Aaron's family, you anoint them, set them apart to be the priest. And Aaron will be the high priest. No one else was to function in that priest service. The Levites, which was the rest of the Kohathites, and then the Gershonites and the Merarites, they were to assist them in service. But they could not go in and act as priests. You remember a king that tried to do that? You know what happened to him? He was struck with leprosy. Why? He's operating out of his ministry. That's not what God called him to do. That wasn't his purpose. And we need to understand what our purpose in life is. Now, let me go on with this. There were actually, I mentioned the three families, the Kohathites, the Gershonites, and the Merarites. These were three sons of Levi. Now, you can find this in Numbers, how God, with the tabernacle, and God's the one that did this, God gave Moses the instructions. The Kohathites were assigned to the holy things. Now, they couldn't look at them, and they couldn't touch them. Only the priest could go in when they got ready to move and set up camp, or break camp, set up camp. Only the priests were allowed in, Aaron's sons, to cover these holy vessels in a predetermined way. And then once they got everything prepared, they were on staves, so, or poles, then the Kohathites were assigned by Eleazar what they were to carry. It's not just every man, well, I'm going to carry this, I'm going to carry it. No, you're assigned to that. And so you carry what you're assigned to do. Then with the Gershonites, they were assigned to take care of the curtains, the hangings, and all the accessories that go with that. The Merarites were responsible for the framework of the temple and all the things that went with setting up the framework so the curtains could be hung. And if you look at how they set up camp and broke camp, God is an absolute genius. Because He had everything set up to where the framework goes up, then the curtains go up, and then they could just bring the holy things into the temple. I mean, it's really incredible when you look at the book of Numbers, how God did all that, and how they set up camp around the tabernacle. It was so orderly. Everyone had a purpose. And if you were assigned to camp on the east side, you didn't camp on the west side. You understand? You go where God has ordained you. That's where you go. You do what God has ordained you to do. And this makes it run smoothly. Do you know that if they would have violated that priestly assignment that God had, let's say someone from the family of Gershon decided, well, I want to offer a sacrifice, it would cost him his life. God was very serious about the way that He went about things, you understand. And we need to be very serious about the way we go about the things of God. Now, when you get over in the New Testament, and I'm just hitting the highlights is all I'm doing, okay? God selected Paul to be an apostle to the Gentiles. Now, the King James Version, it says he magnified his office. That's a horrible translation. Because it is not office. There is no such thing as the office of an apostle. It's the ministry. It's the gift. Look it up in the Greek. You'll find that the definition, the Greek word is diakonos. I magnify my diakone. I magnify my service. There's a world of difference between service and office. I magnify what God's called me to do, to minister to the Gentiles. However, Paul preached to the Jews also, but where was his focus? To the Gentiles. You understand? And then Peter was basically ordained to be an apostle to the Jews. So, Peter's the one who actually preached the first message to the Gentiles down at Cornelius' house. God used that, but Peter's predominant ministry was to the Jews. You understand? And it says that all the elders and all, they recognized that God had called Paul to the Gentiles like He had chosen Peter to the Jews. So Peter's predominant ministry is going to be among the Jewish people. Paul's predominant ministry was going to be among the Gentiles. You follow me? And the reason they were both so successful is because they obeyed God. They did what they were supposed to do. And if you want to be successful in ministry and fulfill the purpose that God has for your life, then you'll have to do what God called you to do. And one of the things He's called us all to do is read the Bible and stop following people. We make idols out of ministers. And we think if the minister says it, that that's the absolute truth. No, this is the absolute truth. And I strongly exhort you, check every minister out, me, anybody else, to see if we are teaching in agreement with the Word of God before you start following things. Okay? Because we get a lot of little pet doctrines out here that aren't scriptural. And you know what error produces? Error. And God wants us to be accurate in the Word. And so we see Paul had a ministry, Peter had a ministry, you have a ministry. We've all been selected for something. God just didn't create deadbeats. People make themselves deadbeats. That's not what they were created to do. And you see a deadbeat, it's going to be a person that doesn't know his purpose. You see someone just floundering around and not doing anything, they don't know why they were created. And I'm telling you, there's too many people that don't have any idea of why they were created. And I promise you, you're here for a reason. And it's not to take up space. It's here to benefit God. Now, we choose whether or not we do it. But our purpose is to benefit God. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 10, we're told to make our invitation and selection sure. Now, if you read in King James, it says calling and election. If you look at the Greek definitions, it's calling is invitation and election is selection. God has called us. He has selected us. Now let's establish it by doing what God has called us to do. Now there are so many gifts and who can name them all? And the scriptures just give us some general categories. Like if you look at the 12th chapter of Romans, for instance, he talks about prophesying, he talks about serving, teaching, exhorting, giving, overseeing, demonstrating compassion, talks about apostles, prophets, teachers, miracles, healings, leadership gifts. But we don't all have the same gifts. And here again, don't compare yourself to someone else and don't try to be like somebody else. If you try to be like somebody else, you're not being who God created you to be. That means something's lacking. And I'm going to tell you, we need to all get liberated to the point that we're happy with who we are, who God made us to be, is what I'm talking about. Okay? And be content with what God's called you to do, and don't listen to what other people say. Doesn't matter what other people say. What matters is what the judge of all the earth says. Is he going to say, well pleased, or why didn't you? And if we don't do what he's ordained us to do, what we're set apart to do, then don't expect to get the accolades from the judge. You understand? And we're rewarded according to that. And that's why it's so important that we fulfill the purpose for which God ordained us. Understand why you're set apart. Well, how do I know that? Spend time with the one that set you apart. Well, I don't know that I've ever been set apart. Well, get in His presence and find out. You know, the setting apart is not just some official service, which we've made it. I don't see that God had an official service with Abraham or with Moses or with Joshua. You understand? To where you just do something that everybody, you know, sees, well, this person got the oil poured on them, you know, the mighty man of God and all this type stuff. We take that to an extreme. And I'm not belittling anointing. Don't misunderstand me. I'm just saying, don't make a God out of this stuff and to where you're worshiping the act and not Jesus Christ, okay? And so God wants to get us into position to where we're actually doing the service that He called us to do. Isn't that simple? Just do what God's called you to do. You know, when you go on a secular job, isn't that what you do? You know, I worked in trucking for years, and there's so many departments in trucking, it's unreal. You know, I never concerned myself with those other departments. It's none of my business. That's not what they hired me to do. I'm in one department called maintenance. You know what I'm to focus on? Maintenance. I'm not to tell them how to run the company. I'm not to tell them anything else. I'm to focus in that one area, and that's the way it is in the body of Christ. God has called us to a particular department, if you will. You focus on what God's called you to do, and don't even concern yourself with all the other stuff that's going on. In reality, it's none of your business. And it's amazing to me how people wear themselves out talking about things that they have absolutely no jurisdiction over. Why do you let that consume your thinking? It's not your business. There's not a thing you can do about it. So why do you want to expend your time and energy on something that is of really should be no concern to you? What should concern you is what God's called you to do. Pretty simple. What's God called me to do? Now I can narrow everything down to me. So I get in my closet and I close my door and I talk to God about me and my problems, not about everybody else. Lord, in order for me to serve you, I need clarity of thought. I need sensitivity of spirit. I need to know what to do. And honestly, don't wait for God to give you some booming voice out of heaven. I called you to be an apostle to the Gentiles. Now, don't look for stuff like that. You know, a good friend of mine, Jerry O'Dell, some of you guys know him, has made a profound statement many, many years ago that stuck with me. All God requires of you is all you know. Isn't that pretty simple? You don't need to wear yourself out trying to figure this out and that out. What's in your heart? Then do what God's put in your heart. That's what you know to do. Do it. And when you do that, God will put something else in your heart. And it's an ongoing cycle. You're not going to run out of things to do. But we live by faith, not by the doing. The doing is just simply demonstrating what we believe. That's the way it's supposed to be. And so it's like this. God's saying, I've anointed you, I've set you apart. Let me say it that way. I've set you apart to do this. That's what I want you to do. You remember there before Jesus' ascension, and he's talking to Peter, and then he tells Peter what's going to happen, basically that he's going to die in a way he's not really wanting to. And when he gets through, Peter says, well, what about John? In my paraphrase, Jesus says, John's none of your business. What is it to you if I want John to live until I come back? And then a rumor got started that John wasn't going to die. And he didn't say that at all. And, you know, a lot of rumors get started because people just hear what they want to hear. But here's the thing. It's really a profound truth in this. He's telling Peter, you focus on your ministry. Don't concern yourself with John. That doesn't mean you don't pray about people. That doesn't mean you don't help people and this type of thing. That's not your concern. You let John, a person's ministry is between them and the Lord. And you leave that to them and the Lord. And if you think they're missing God, get in your closet, talk to the Lord with the right heart. Lord, I don't want them trapped. I don't want them to miss you. I'm asking you to protect them. I'm asking you to open their eyes. Make sure your motive's right and your praying will be right. Okay, get the right motive and then you can pray. But as far as trying to direct that person's life, God didn't call you to direct their lives. Parents are to direct children as long as those children are home. When those children get married, the parents have no more jurisdiction. Now someone else is directing. You follow me? And we have to learn that even in the body of Christ, we're the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, fivefold minister role is to mature the saints. Now, when you get them mature, don't try to hold on to them and keep them in the house. The objective is to mature them to where they can do what God's called them to do. And if they need your assistance, then you assist them. If they need your advice, you advise them. But don't you try to run their life. Don't you try to run their ministry. You know, when Tammy's living at home, she was under my jurisdiction. I had the rule over her. But when I gave her away, I gave her away. And I said something to her. I don't even know if she remembers it or not, but I told her. I said, once you're married, then I will no longer interfere. I won't interfere in your life. I won't volunteer advice. If you need advice and you want to come to me, then I'll talk to you, but you'll have to initiate it. I'm not going to initiate. I will not run your life. And that's a pretty major step that parents have to do, is to back off. You ever heard cut the apron strings? That's what you have to do. Now it's another entity. Okay? There's a time that we grow people up, but then there's a time that we turn them over to the Lord and let God work in their lives. Okay? Understand what your role is and understand when that course is finished, so to speak. What's the purpose of having babies? To keep babies all your life? Or to bring them up to where they're productive adults? It's the same way in the body of Christ. And along the way, you encourage people, you exhort people, you develop those gifts and abilities that God's put in them. That God's put in them, you understand? You can't develop what isn't there. And so you recognize the potential in a person, and then you try to develop that potential in that person by including them in this, that, or the other. But you follow the leadership of the Spirit of God in all that. And people don't understand all that, and so that's why you have jealousy and contention and all the other stuff. They don't understand that you're not picking and choosing. God is selecting. You with me? And so just tell yourself that God selected you for a particular purpose. I want to know that. I don't want to miss you. So I'm going to start listening inside, and I'm going to follow the promptings, the leadings. I'm not going to wait for some spectacular thing to happen. I'm just going to do what I know to do, knowing that nobody on earth wants me to fulfill the will of God more than God. So why wouldn't he tell me what his will is? But we have to get still and hear and know the will of God. So God set you apart for a purpose. Your purpose may not even look like a purpose. What was Sarah's purpose? She had to get Isaac into the world. What else did Sarah do? What was Ruth's purpose? You think about it. We're looking for some spectacular thing and we're missing obvious things. Sarah's purpose was to cooperate with Abraham, not fight against him and think, you old fool, you know, and all this type stuff. She was to cooperate with him. And the purpose of God was fulfilled. Amen? Cooperate with God and the purpose of God will be fulfilled in your life. Okay? That's the message. I mean, we could talk about a lot of stuff, but I think you get the picture. Just understand that anointing sets you apart and quit trying to make some glorified word out of it. It's something that sets you apart to do what God has called you to do. And it may be formal, but in most cases it probably will not be formal. Okay? That has nothing to do with it. Did God call you? Then go with God. You understand? I will promise you that even though I am ordained with physical paperwork, it would not matter because God called me. God ordained me. Now, the other side of that is the paperwork means absolutely nothing if God didn't ordain you. You just ordained by men fulfilling the purpose of men. God wants you to understand He selected you, He equipped you, and He wants you to fulfill His purpose and quit thinking about papers and approval and accolades and all that stuff. Just do what you were created to do. Amen? All right, I'm going to stop here. All right. You okay? Father, I thank you that you bless us indeed. You enlarge our territory, your hands with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up, let your enemies be scattered, and those who hate you leave it for you. Amen. Have a great afternoon.